You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's and DraftKings. DraftKings, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. You can download it today on your phone and get in on all of the action. I'm Rudo, joined by AJ Hapley as always. And with one day before the Avs start their round one of the playoffs in earnest, we did, of course, have the draft lottery officially decided yesterday. So we decided to take another crack at a mock draft here. And while the Avs position isn't fully decided as of yet, and we'll have to wait and see how the playoffs turn out, it is going to give us a pretty good look at the Central Division and what the Avs' future opponents might be looking like over the next couple of years. So we can start with the obvious. I don't think anyone is expecting anything but Lafreniere to go to New York within the first overall pick.
Yeah, that was the whole point of yesterday.
Yep, to just sort out whether he was coming to the Central or not, and the answer is no, he is not coming to the Central.
I'm disappointed you don't have a regular Mountain Dew can.
This is a regular Mountain Dew can.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, there it is. Yeah. I thought it was a code red.
No, it looks like a code red.
It does because of the background. Yep. That's so funny.
Yep.
That's why I wanted it to be a regular so that it could be in the background. And it turns out it was. And I'm just done. No, I honestly, I think the top of this draft is pretty straightforward. Lafreniere, number one.
Yeah.
Going to the Rangers, and hopefully he has a better rookie year than Kaapo Kakko.
I mean, that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
As much as I love the kid, not the greatest rookie season for him. So, and then at this point, I'm not super convinced by him, but the general consensus is Stützle has separated as the number two as well. So,
yeah, I think that's it was funny because it was like we were talking tons of draft, and I was talking to people around the league a little bit and trying to get a feel for this conversation. It really did feel like Stützle had
pushed his way into that position.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, the teams will lie to you.
Yeah. If you see me and AJ looking off, it's because we're watching this overtime game in Tampa and Columbus right now. So they're about to head to
the luckily, it's about to hit intermission, so we'll be able to focus properly.
We timed our show well.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, so an interesting makeup at the top, just because you end up with a kid from the queue and then a kid from Germany, likely going 1-2 here. It's been a while since, well, I don't know if we've ever seen a German kid go that high, actually.
Draisaitl at 3.
Yeah, so I guess 2 would be the new high watermark.
Yeah, the difference being Draisaitl was playing in the WHL.
Right, but and, I mean, German descent anyway.
Yeah.
And then 3.
Having a kid from the DEL at second overall, just a year after Seider at 6.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and look, like we've, spoiler alert, Yeah, we're not getting, the only German going in the first round.
It's not even, there's more than two even going in the first round. So
one of us.
Yeah, it was part of the thumbnail image. So
perfect.
That might spoil it a little bit. But third overall pick goes to Ottawa. They're just licking their chops at Byfield at that point.
Yeah, that's for me. But Ottawa has the easiest pick in the draft outside of the Rangers. It's either Stützle or it's Byfield, whichever one is still there.
Yeah.
So by in this one, Byfield is still there. They get one of their they get a franchise center. Move on.
Yep, I think it's pretty straightforward as well. Nothing. Yep. The draft really begins at pick number four. Like that's
And you and I had a pretty quick conversation about it, and it was like Detroit loves Swedes.
Yep,
there's a Swede sitting right here. They don't necessarily need to go super all in on the franchise center because they do have Dylan Larkin,
exactly.
Who may not be like a really high end 1C, but is proving to be capable of playing first line center duties, and getting him a top flight wing. Only going to make him better. So that's what we did.
Right. We took Raymond, obviously. I still believe beyond the first three, he's probably the most well-rounded forward in the draft after those ones.
You know, we could have a fun conversation about that, him versus Rossi, but I'm...
Yeah, you're a bigger fan of Rossi than I am. And don't get me wrong, I really like Rossi, but
Raymond's... I'm a bigger fan of Perfetti.
Me too.
Perfetti. I love Perfetti. I'm not making any
qualms about Perfetti's defense. I just know that's not why you're drafting that dude.
I feel about Perfetti the way I did about Mitch Marner.
Okay.
Just, I think that that he's an elite playmaker, high end vision, high end hockey sense. That he's going to be just very fun to watch.
Yep. I 100% agree, but Detroit goes with Raymond because of their love of Swedes. That gives Ottawa their second pick in the top five at five. And
this one, you and I kind of draft theoried this one.
Yeah.
Instead of just going BPA and taking Perfetti or taking Rossi,
because I think those are picks. You get a grade A forward, you get a grade A defenseman. Right. Just feels nice, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly. And we were just like, look, like you get your franchise center. You've already got some decent, you know, like you're Colin White, asking him to be the Robin to Byfield's Batman in 2 years feels, that's fine.
Yeah.
You could try and talk yourself into that. So, you know, you get Drysdale, he's right-handed, and you can put him next to, the idea is to put him next to Thomas Chabot, and you have your top pairing.
And you just run there you go. For the next decade. Yep.
Exactly. You have your, you know, they missed out on the pick last year with Byron. Well, they've instead of Colorado's getting up with Byron McCarr, Ottawa's going to end up with Chabot and Drysdale in this situation. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's really good draft for them. And we'll get to their third pick as well. But Ottawa is very, very happy if the draft plays out the way this mock draft does.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, they could absolutely double down on forwards, and it would be fine. Like, if they wanted Perfetti there.
Yeah.
And the idea was, hey, let's put Perfetti and Byfield together. Fine.
It's... Yeah, this is still a draft where it's going to be weird to get a defenseman later on in the first.
And as we're going to see, it's a really weird spot. There are two top guys, two clear-cut middle guys, and then a whole bunch of dudes.
Yep. And speaking of the two top guys, we didn't beat around the bush. After Drysdale goes, Anaheim at six takes the other in Sanderson.
I think the big thing for me with taking Sanderson here is that with Zegras last year, Rossi or Perfetti would feel kind of redundant.
Same kind of super high skill type of guy, right?
Yeah, and it was like, hey, Sanderson as the second best D prospect in a pipeline that is seriously lacking D prospects all of a sudden, and there's a good argument to be made that they should be looking to get rid of Josh Manson while they still can, because he had sort of a down year, but he's still well liked around the league.
Sell
it
high.
Might be time.
Or sell it high as is left anyway.
Exactly. Like, he still has a good contract, and he's still just 28 years old, and he's sort of that rugged defender that teams are really, really looking for because they're drafting all the puck movers. You're not drafting any of those rugged types. You're hoping somebody else gets a good one. You're trying to pull those guys out of there.
Yeah.
So here they take Sanderson because they did, again, you're drafting the puck movers. And Sanderson could easily end up as the best defenseman out of this draft. There's been a ton of hype attached to him throughout the whole draft process. Had the draft happened in June, this felt like he absolutely would have been a top 10 pick.
Yeah, there was at one point where people were putting him over Drysdale. So
yeah, and I'm sure that there are teams out there that still feel that way. That do feel like he's the better guy. I don't think Drysdale is the consensus number one D in this.
The D class in general is just kind of all over the board this year, man. Yep. It really is. Ducks have a long history of developing defensemen into quality NHLers as well, even if they do love to trade them away. But I think it's just a good fit there. So that's 6-7. Finally getting to your boy Rossi here, New Jersey's first pick on the board.
Yeah, this is not a team that absolutely needs a center. You know, they've got Hughes, they've got Heischer.
I mean, to be honest, I think they're pretty sad that two defensemen get picked right before them.
But definitely, that's a team that they're hoping one of those two D drops, and if they do, great. And you know, if they don't, then I think this is just take the best player. Don't worry about position.
Yeah.
They're in need of enough talent across the board that Perfetti, Rossi, they could have easily chosen Perfetti here, but we went with Rossi.
Right. This is going to come this area. Once the defensemen are off the board, I think the draft gets pretty easy again, where you just take the highest forward on your list. Like
the only wild card is Askarov.
Right.
And this is a team that has a young goaltender in net that they really like in Blackwood, who had a great second half and kind of backstopped them to a strong finish to the season, where they're probably feeling right now like they don't need that.
Yep. 8 at Buffalo is Perfetti. They end up taking that. You can kind of put these in whatever order you want. Teams are going to take the forward at the top of their list unless they want Askarov, which I don't really see either of these teams being super interested in.
Buffalo's tough because we really have no feel for their front office because they don't have one at the moment. So we really there's no history. There's no.
It's a lot easier to GM put a skater as BPA when their front office is a question mark. We'll put it that way.
Definitely. And it's just like, look, there are two skaters here that you're kind of picking between. Do you want the sniper, the pure goal scorer? Do you want more of your playmaker? And I think Perfetti's the superior talent, so we went with Perfetti.
Yeah, I agree.
Some of this is pretty easy, guys.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's not hard.
Some of these are, hey, look, this guy's just a better fit. He's a better player. They're looking for wing help. Perfetti probably ends up on the wing. If he's able to stick at 2C behind Eichel, that's great, too.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win, I think, for them, because at worst, you've filled out your center depth. At best, you have another stud talent that solves the problem of, okay, now we don't need Casey Mittelstadt to actually be good.
Definitely, and it gives you, you know, it with Olofsson and Reinhart and Skinner, it just sort of gives you one more guy towards solidifying that group as a legitimately dangerous group.
Yep. Agreed. So,
Buffalo with Perfetti, that one felt pretty easy. Minnesota, we actually had quite a bit of conversation about, and we naturally, like, we took the central teams. I don't want to say we didn't take the other ones seriously. You and I didn't spend very much time on some of these because it's like, hey, let's bang these out. The central teams is the point. We want to talk about the central teams. We want to talk about the ads.
100%.
Know your audience, right?
Well, once the draft is, you know, a little bit closer, we can break things down in a little bit more detail. But trying to get a general look at the Central Division was the idea here. And that starts with Minnesota, which we'll get to in a second. Do need to take our first period break as we're about to go on a run of Central teams. DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook out there, as I already mentioned. We have some DraftKings picks of the week for you here. I am taking Cale Makar to score a goal tomorrow night at plus 310. Any goal. Doesn't matter if it's first, doesn't matter if it's last. All Cale Makar has to do is put a goal in the net, and you can get three times your money for this next game. Of course, you can bet on just about any game like that. If you want to bet on a specific goal, first or last, I think Rantanen was like plus 1,000 to score the first goal of the game. So if you're feeling somebody's hot, put your money where your mouth is. If you're doing the Avs Twitter first goal of the game challenge, you can make a little bit of cash on the side if you're willing to put that down. AJ, I always give him the bets of his boys here. So I gave him his Carolina boy on this one.
Yeah, I'm taking Svechnikov to lead that series in scoring. I picked Carolina. I've said that this was going to be the Svechnikov breakout, where he really kind of
rolling from that first round. Yeah,
yeah, where he really puts himself in that top flight wing conversation, and not just like the up and comer, but like he here.
All right. I love to hear it. Svech plus 112. So head on over to DraftKingsSportsbook.com or DraftKings.com/sportsbook, excuse me, and get your game on today. Of course, if you want to bet on anything from basketball, hockey, baseball, table tennis, NASCAR, you name it, you can bet on it at DraftKings Sportsbook, particularly UFC. They always have fantastic odds boosts on. Sometimes it's basically like they're giving you free money. So jump on it while you still can. When you install and get in today, you can get up to $1,000 in sign up bonus money when you use code DNVR to sign up. So be sure to get on that one while you still can, while the offer is still out there, because it comes and goes quite a bit. They change that stuff all the time. So jump on while you can. Again, DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And, of course, our other amazing sponsor, Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. They are my favorite beer in the world, just straight up. Let's be honest about it. You can get 8 different versions on tap down at the DNVR bar, or, of course, always go down to the source and get it strictly from the farmhouse. Whatever you want, whether it be the Mile High City, whether it be the Avalanche Amber, the Agave Wheat, any number of their dozens of beers, they are all great. Highly recommend them today. And if you use code DNVR when you head to the farmhouse, you get $5 off a meal for pickup as well. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Pick number 9, we're going to get into a run of Central Division teams here. Minnesota, we have taken Jack Quinn.
This was mostly about their recent, we had two guys that we were picking from here in Holtz and Quinn. And this is mostly, we went with Quinn because they have, what was it that I said yesterday? 8 guys from Ontario.
Yeah, they love to pick out of the OHL.
Yeah, it was, and not just the OHL, but the OJHL as well.
Yeah. The Ontario area. Yeah.
They had, I think they had 8 or 9 picks over the last 3 years from that area. So, you know, with Guerin at the top, maybe things are a little bit different, but for right now, that's a scout that they're listening to.
Has a lot of sway in the room for sure.
Yeah. That's a guy that they are definitely paying attention to. And so we use that as our tiebreaker. It was either Holtz or Quinn here, a dynamic goal scorer either way. This is a guy that, you know, with Quinn, this is a guy, he had a 50 goal season playing next to Rossi.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things we've talked about with Minnesota, they need game-breaking talent. You know, yep. Kaprizov just came over from Russia, did not get to play against Vancouver. Maybe if he lives up to his billing, they've got a game-breaker. Like, they've got a guy. And then you drop Quinn into that mix, and then you have that really solid high-end two-way guy that they drafted last year in Boldy. All of a sudden, you know, you're starting to build some really interesting wings. Unfortunately, the one center that we talked about here for Minnesota was just a little too Mikko Koivu.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's a perfect NHL comparable for the,
yeah,
the
center. Yeah, it really is.
Honestly, which I don't want to jump ahead here, but that center ended up going to Winnipeg with the very next pick.
Yeah.
Anton Lundell out of the Finnish league. Minnesota needs talent. Winnipeg needs centers.
Definitely. You know, they would have loved to have gotten to have landed Lafreniere.
Yeah.
But with when we saw in their series, Scheifele went down, and Scheifele's a high end 1C. He's one of the 10 or 15 best centers in the NHL. He's very, very good.
And that was the end of the list of reliable centers for that team.
Right. Well, and with Brian Little still suffering from the concussions and the like the weird brain injury that he had.
I'm not sure, whatever, but it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever the specifics were, he's not better. And the lack of 2C, they went out and they got Cody Eakin, who's never done that job outside of the miracle year in Vegas where everybody had a career year. And then Matthew Perreault is just sort of a shell of him, of his former self at this point.
Yeah.
So this is just a team. They need defense. But there wasn't a defenseman here that either one of us liked in the top 10 as a third guy.
You're just and not getting value, yeah.
The difference between the next best defenseman available and the forwards that are available is significant. So we just weren't comfortable giving them the defenseman that they probably really needed. And obviously, with Hellebuck, Askarov doesn't make very much sense there.
Yeah, definitely not going Askarov.
We went with, hey, they need a center, and that's kind of our tiebreaker. Like the Holtz is the best guy on the board from a BPA perspective.
Really put Holtz on a team with Laine, though.
But like Holtz, and not just Laine, but I mean Connor, Ehlers.
Yep.
Blake Wheeler. Like
it would be more of the same for them.
Exactly. It doesn't do much towards like all Holtz would do. And maybe they take a Holtz on draft day because they say, hey, we're going to move one of those guys for a defenseman.
Yeah.
A very real and should be something that they absolutely pursue is moving a Connor or an Ehlers. I mean, obviously they could try and move Wheeler, but I don't think the return would be as good. And there's a lot of things there.
You got to move one of the young guys if you want a high value return. That's just
exactly it. And then your conversation, you know, then Holtz is very realistic at that point. If they were to do that, because I like Holtz quite a bit more than I like Lundell.
Yeah.
And it's not even just Holtz. I like Holtz. I like Mercer. You could make an interesting conversation about Gundler and LaPierre.
The reason Lundell is ranked so highly for me is the classic draft mantra of centers get drafted higher.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Basically it.
And a polished defensive center.
Yep.
Going to an organization that doesn't, he will have no pressure to be the number one guy ever.
Yep.
And that's going to mean that he can just be who he is and he can kind of round out his career. You know, sort of do what we talked about the other day with Jordan Staal, where when Staal got drafted, there was no pressure on him to other than just be the best defensive matchup 3C that he could be, and he turned into a great one.
So
that's what the Jets are going to try and do here with Lundell. That's the whole point of it, and you get a really good two-way player whose offense may not be elite, but that's okay. Because the Jets are in a situation where they're one of the few teams out there looking around saying, that's fine. We can live with that.
Yeah, exactly right. So third pick straight from the Central comes immediately after them with Nashville at 11. And essentially the conversation we just had, Holtz is BPA on the board at that point.
Yep.
Nashville's going to take him. I think it's a great pick for Nashville as well. They need forwards that can put the damn puck in the net.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward there that nothing's going to solve their broken system of trying to play offense through their defense, but good pieces is a good place to start.
Definitely. Go get high end goal scorer. go get high end finishing talent. Like they have a bunch of interesting playmakers. You know, Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, all those guys are great playmakers. Arvidsson.
None of them's giving you 30 goals a year, though.
And it's like you can get 30 out of like a Forsberg, right? But
sometimes, yeah.
Holtz is a guy where you're talking about the guy's got such a shot that you build a power play around him and not Ryan Ellis.
This is the guy you turret up on the power play and just let him rip.
Like, and you're talking you're hoping he's a 40 goal guy for you.
Yep, exactly.
Even if he only gives you 10 assists, you don't care.
Yeah.
That's the guy that beats one thing.
Yep.
He's the guy that can beat Darcy Kemper in a playoff series.
Yep. Exactly right. He's not gonna fire it right to the goalie's chest.
And that's the whole point. And that's why, you know, as BPA, easy choice for Nashville there.
Yep. If Nashville figures out their systems, I think that's a really, really scary pick for the Avs.
Agreed. And this is one where the next pick is one where, even though we just said there's a big gap between forwards and defensemen, this is an organization that absolutely cannot take another forward.
Yep. Florida coming in next.
They can't.
On paper, they should have one of the best top sixes in the league, if not the best.
They have a really – all of their top prospects are forwards.
Yep.
And some of them are really good.
Yep. So it's – they just cannot take another forward. It doesn't make any sense. They're locked into Bobrovsky, whether he's good or bad, so Askarov doesn't make a ton of sense either.
Well, and they took Knight last year, so they're not taking goalies first round back-to-back seasons.
Yep.
So this is an organization that has to take a defenseman. Like, we are locking them in. They have to do this.
Yep.
They have to do this.
And we ultimately put Gouley over Schneider for them. Which,
just because we're the ones making the picks and we both like him more. Love Gouley.
definitely true. So
it's funny when you're the ones in power.
Feels nice sometimes.
You get to make those decisions.
Yeah, until Gouley busts out, but you know, we don't talk about that.
It's true.
So that one's pretty straightforward. Next up is Carolina. This is a team that's low key real good and can kind of go any way they want with this pick.
And they're good at all levels of the organization.
Yep.
Prospect wise. So they don't have one major position of like serious weakness, which means they can do anything. And for us, that meant, okay, great. Who's the next guy on our board? And that was Dawson Mercer.
Yep. Done. Take him, let it rip, give yourself another high quality option. And
yeah,
whatever you get out of him. Yeah.
Yep. Let him and, Ryan Suzuki kind of lead the next wave for your forward prospects.
Man, I loved Ryan Suzuki's draft.
I did too. that he fell that far was just like,
yeah, ridiculous.
It's one of those things where sometimes you think the NHL just outsmarts itself.
Yeah.
Next up on the board was Edmonton. Again, this was just an organization where they could absolutely justify taking a forward. They need the help, but there wasn't really a forward that I loved for this spot.
Yeah.
And so we went with Braden Schneider.
Add another defenseman to the coffers. Just as bad as they need help on forward sides.
Definitely.
So.
You know, they're getting right to the point where they're at the same spot with Darnell Nurse that Colorado is with Nikita Zadorov, where it's shit or get off the pot time.
Yep.
And it's you're either committing real money to him long term, or that guy's walking and somebody else is going to give him that money. I mean,
this year basically proved that McDavid and Draisaitl can carry them to the playoffs. They just need something on the back end that isn't a sieve to stop the other team from scoring at will on them once they get there.
Definitely. And, you know, they certainly need more forward help. Hopefully they're hoping that, you know, RNH is still there, that Yamamoto can develop a little bit. Yep. Maybe they can get another guy like a Tyler Benson. Maybe Puljujarvi is truly willing to come back and can help. They're, you know, and finding like decent forwards in free agency is very doable. You just have to have a GM that can actually do it. But when it came to the draft, it felt like let's go with another defenseman just to be safe. they've done it a couple of years in a row, you know, Bouchard and Broberg. But I think another one, hey, you just keep trying to get this thing right. It's
one of those. Edmonton has spent a decade trying to build their team through forwards through the draft, and yeah, they've been spinning their wheels for a decade. So,
well, and like we talked about in that great video that you made about how Colorado fixed their defense, at some point
you just draft defense.
You just have to buck up and say, okay, well, these are the guys that we are targeting defensemen.
Yep.
We're gonna, you know, the Taylor Hall, Adam Larson thing was stupid, but they need a younger Adam Larson. You know,
the magic of the draft is you can target a defenseman without giving up an asset to do it.
Exactly. You don't have to give up elite forwards to do things like that. You can just pick one and hope for the best. And at 15, you're not trying to set the world on fire here. You're just trying to get an NHL player. And with Schneider, I think they're going to get what they need. More of a throwback type, a defensive guy.
Big, physical, defensive, yeah.
Exactly, but not one who's out of place in today's game.
Can actually move a puck a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, not high-end, but, you know, you're not drafting this guy to put him on a power play, but that's not what they need. So this one, that one made sense. And then, you know, next up we had Pittsburgh. Yep. Which them sitting here at 16 is kind of hilarious. At 15.
A team certainly talented enough to have made a deep playoff run.
Yeah. I mean, they were fifth in the East. Like a normal playoff year, that we're not even coming close to this. But
it's the opposite of Edmonton in a lot of ways, right? Edmonton had a very specific need for something. Pittsburgh can gear up, sit on the change up, and swing for the fences here, basically.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we have them doing, taking Hendrix Lapierre.
Yep.
Could be a really dynamic talent, could be a really high-end forward.
If he gets healthy and he's the player everybody thinks he is, Pittsburgh's going to kind of continue to be a monster, unfortunately. Yeah,
they're going to have the forward that they've been really trying to find for a number of years now, the kind of a young, like Daniel Sprong, wasn't it? Right.
Yep.
You know, Jake Guentzel has been great for them, but is he a really high end guy? Is he more of a worker B
middle sixy kind of? Yeah.
And this is like skill first, and then try and teach him to be a human being later. try and teach him to take every shift seriously. Yep. You know, try and build the worker bee into him to go along with the high end skill.
I mean, you put a kid with that talent around guys like Crosby and Malkin, and it's got to be pretty easy to convince him to work hard, I would think.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. They've been really good at developing. The problem is that they trade their first round picks away all the time.
Yep.
And so, you know, they are lacking in forward talent. You know, they have the Swedish kid that they drafted with the pick that they got from Colorado when the Avs traded down to take Annanen, Hollander. But there's not a ton in that system. So Lapierre gives them not only a fancy new top prospect, but one that you don't normally get in that range of the draft.
Yeah. It seems like a slam dunk pick for them because they can afford a boomer bust type guy.
Yeah, if he hits, he's going to hit quickly, and that's what they need.
Yep, they're still essentially trying to win now. Malkin and Crosby aren't getting any younger. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's what the Zucker deal was. That's why they signed Hornquist to the extension. That's why Guentzel is still, you know, on a huge deal. Like they're still committed to this era of winning, and that's where Lapierre could come in and really change things for them, or nothing could happen. Yep. He could be a bust, and like. That's the fear, is the boomer bust here.
Next up, Montreal. Honestly, this is a team that I'm never confident in knowing what they do in the draft.
Everybody had them connected to Newhook last year.
Yep, and then
it was the whole process. Newhook, Newhook, Newhook. And then Newhook was on the board, and they were sitting there with a chance to add a center. And they were like, let's go with a 5'8" goal-scoring wing.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
We all
make decisions in life.
Yeah, choices were made. We ended up making the choice of giving him Seth Jarvis. It is what it is. He's in that conversation of best player available. I think he's probably a bit of a safer side pick as far as not going on the risk and taking a guy like Gundler or something like that.
In that, I would agree. There's not the same kind of bust potential with Jarvis.
Yep.
I think that he's worked his way into that part of the draft. I've heard he's a great kid who's going to interview who has interviewed well. So I think that probably solidified him in that area, and this just makes sense.
Yep. It is what it is. Askarov, not a consideration for them, given they're locked into Carey Price, whether they like it or not.
And they've invested some picks in recent years in goaltenders, first rounders. They've aggressively promoted first rounders. If you're taking a goaltender in the first round, even with an aggressive promotion path, that guy is still getting there while Carey Price is doing his thing. So exactly. we moved away on that one.
So final pick of this second period here is Chicago, another Central Division team.
This one, when Chicago was sitting with the 10th overall pick, we had kind of earmarked as a major Askarov landing spot. They dropped. So did Askarov. We're still putting him in Chicago. They're not afraid of Russia. They need a goaltender. Why not?
If he's there, I don't see how Chicago passes on him, given
that's what we their said about goaltending Bo and Byram.
Situation is a mess. You're not wrong, but Corey Crawford is at the end of his rope. That's just the reality of his career. It's winding down. And they don't have anyone else in the organization to realistically come in and replace him.
Yeah. This just makes too much sense. This is one of the easiest fits. This is like a couple years ago when Dallas took Jake Oettinger. They had the second first round pick late in the first. It made perfect sense. It's a really good goaltender prospect. And look, Oettinger has thus far rewarded that faith.
Yep.
And this is, if Chicago could get Askarov, I think that that's a home run for them.
Just, it's too easy. It's too easy for them not to.
Yeah, so definitely. And there were just too many roadblocks for Askarov getting picked higher.
Yep. Too many needs, too many teams just looking for something more specific or the best player available with no need for a goaltender. So we can take our second period break there as we get a little bit of puppy cam here. Rexo messing up my green screen to remind you to head to Green Mountain Dental Group to get your teeth checked out. And when you schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush just for showing up and getting your teeth checked out to make sure they are all good. Our sales manager, Lindsay, went down there a couple weeks ago and got her wisdom teeth removed. And she said it was one of the best dental experiences of her life. So give them a try today. They're 15 minutes from downtown in Lakewood. So super close by and easy to get to. They also treat you like family. They'll send you birthday cards. They'll send you reminders of when you need to schedule your next dental appointment. So they take care of you. And remember to schedule that cleaning x-ray and exam for that free Sonicare toothbrush. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We're going to keep rolling here as we don't really have any more central picks, and we're getting into the 20s here where teams are just going to kind of start moving towards their boards a little bit more and just taking the guys that they like.
Yeah, which in this case means us taking the guys that we like for them.
Yep.
New Jersey ended up with back-to-back picks here, and we just went with, hey, they've already got one pick with Rossi. Now we're going to put Gundler next to him, and then we're going to draft Cormier for the back end.
They needed a D. We went with Cormier. Take the shot on the high-end talent there.
Yep.
Same. They already have Rossi locked in as a high-end talent forward, so they have the room to take the shot with Gundler as well.
Yep.
I think that makes sense. Yep.
Good and logical, which means no chance it happens.
Right.
Calgary was next up on our board, and they haven't been shy about taking college kids. We've got a college kid in Dylan Holloway who's just sitting on the board right now, just waiting, and he's rated a little higher than this. We're a little down on him compared to some of the other peeps, so he fell not very far, honestly.
I think it's pretty reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. And to be honest, I still have him earmarked as a guy that could have the Suzuki Joe Valeno draft day draft.
Fall-ish. Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, but
because that the skill level is the question mark, but there are some really intriguing tools, and he's a really hard worker. He's got high IQ. There's a whole lot to like.
Calgary would be the team to bail him out of that fall if there is one.
Yeah, it definitely. It just felt like such a good fit.
Yep.
So that's what we went with. We went with Dylan Holloway. Although with the cancellation of fall sports across the NCAA right now, that might be a guy who's stuck. And
definitely a real question what those kids are going to do. Yeah,
we're going to have to talk about this on a pod at some point because it affects a bunch of Avs prospects.
Yep. It'll be interesting. You know, obviously we'll see when we can fit that in with how the playoffs turn out, but a pod for a different day. What up, Spence? I think our comments on the live show are a little bit off today. I'm not sure. They break sometimes. So apologies if you've been talking to us and we haven't noticed, but
yeah, it's an us thing. It's not a you thing.
Yeah. Right. So
we're not seeing them.
Moving on. Ottawa's third pick of the draft. Connor Zary sitting right there for them to take. Not only do I think he's the best player on the board right there, Ottawa is just loving this as they can go down the middle with Byfield and Zary, and then you get Drysdale on the back end.
Yeah. And honestly, Zary's the guy that could go 10 picks higher and neither one of us would blink.
Yeah. No, that's totally reasonable. And just the way things kind of worked out with.
Yeah.
Not a lot of centers going really in that 10 to 20 range.
Yep.
So it worked out that way. CBJ is next. I don't trust Yarmo at all. He does random stuff all the time.
Yeah. He's pretty off the wall. And this is where our German run starts.
Yep. As we go to Paterka for CBJ.
Yeah.
Which I've been pretty vocal about my distrust of the DEL, but talent is talent, man.
Yeah, well, and he fits their identity really nicely as a guy that just he has a very repeatable game, right? It's very he's got intriguing tools, but the way that he plays is it's very what we're seeing Columbus get away with in the postseason right now, where they just work hard and they play a committed, sound all around game, and they try to take advantage of the throw a puck at the net and get a good bounce kind of thing, right?
Yep. Like
they're
not a fun team to play against.
Not a sexy formula for Columbus, but it's repeatable, and Paterka fits that very nicely.
Don't disagree with that at all, as this game is nearing triple overtime over here. But next
and up. In case anybody's still upset about the schedule, this is why the games are scheduled earlier.
Yep.
With there having to be two games in each building per day, this is why.
There's no more bailout with the shootout games anymore. So
yeah, the next round it should be all prime time. Because there only have to be one game in the each building per day.
Yep. So
anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, next up, New York Rangers picking again. I thought this one was a super easy pick. Amarov has already fallen. The Rangers love taking Russians. You just slam dunk that one home. Yeah.
That's a super easy match for us to find here. Just like I think the next pick is too with Dallas and Jacob Perreault.
Yeah.
Dallas loves toolsy type players, and Perreault is wildly inconsistent all over the board.
Fits in perfectly with this year's Dallas team.
Yeah, but I mean, this look at the guys that they've drafted in the recent years. They've been, with Nichushkin and Gurianov and the college Riley Tufte.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of.
They fall in love with the high end a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they fall in love with the potential. They look at a guy's ceiling and they're like, that's okay. We'll get him there.
Just be that.
And that's what Perreault is. Perreault could definitely. I don't understand. Cool. That scared me. I didn't know what that was.
Like voice to text or something?
It was my, it was my I said okay cool and my phone thought that
okay cool got it yeah yep. got it
did it again too and it thought I was saying okay Google oh which I just
that's damn definitely it. Gonna pick that up
damn it okay
dude I wish the draft was that easy can I just say okay Google give me the NHL draft order
that's right
tell me who the Avs are gonna take in 4 months
well and this is why we have Pro to Dallas Toolsy.
Agreed.
The next couple of picks, it was just like a mishmash of, hey, yeah. These guys need something, right?
This is another section where you kind of just get into a bunch of forwards start to blend together and teams are just going to take the one that they like.
Yeah. We don't know which ones they like, so we're taking the guys that we like for them. Yep. Vegas we have going with a small reach here in Justin Barron.
Yep.
Mostly they could really use a defenseman and
of these next handful of teams, their defense is by far the weakest.
Yeah. And then Philly, we have taking on Meshack, Washington, Thomas Bortolo, because, they really like puck skill guys.
Yep.
San Jose, we have going with William Wallander and kind of collectively breaking our heart.
Yeah. Their defense is,
yeah,
it's,
a they struggle. Need. They badly need
not what he used to be. Burns and Carlson are quickly torpedoing. Like they're in trouble on the defensive end.
And so in this, we have Colorado all the way down here because these are just the current standings.
Yeah. As the two seed, the higher two seed, they would be 29th pick. So
yeah. So right now, 29th. That's a late pick, man.
That is late, but we alluded to it, and there's another German still on the board here.
Yeah, and this one kind of plays to me a little bit because I'm a big fan of him. But Lucas Reichel, he's
we got the highlights here for you. Yeah,
great. So we can just watch Lucas Reichel. honestly, he's a skilled forward that could really he's defensively responsible. He plays a very mature and sound game. It reminds me they're different players, but he reminds me a little bit of Martin Kaut in that it's a quote unquote safe pick.
Yeah,
this is a guy that he could be pretty aggressively moved through assist. He could come to the AHL right away if you wanted him to. I'm given all the madness and all this right now, I'd rather he just stay over in Germany. But he's a good, smart player, does a little bit of everything. Doesn't have the high end that you would love, but when you're drafting 29th,
right,
you're gonna be straining. Even the guys with that high end, like a Jacob Perreault a couple picks earlier, there's a ton of question marks there.
Yeah. The realities of drafting 29th is if you can get a guy who projects very solidly as an NHLer,
yeah,
you have to be happy with that pick.
And the big thing in terms of fitting Colorado's identity is that Reichel's a great skater.
Yep. He can, especially his first step is mwah.
Yeah. As a transition player, he fits in very nicely with what the Avs are just as a club right now. So it's more of the same. And this is a guy, it's really, really easy to project this guy on the left side next to Newhook and Kaut on the right. And you have a really solid and dynamic second line.
You know, he's got, actually, now that I've been thinking about it, he feels a lot like Namestnikov to me. He scores a lot of goals right here, right in front of the net. He's willing to go to the dirty areas with that good skating ability. Can find the soft spots a little bit. Yeah, it's the DEL. You have to see what it looks like in higher competitions. But for all those guys that love Namestnikov, take a look at this kid. Put it that way.
That's actually pretty... I like that.
So, if you're getting that at 29, I think you got to be pretty happy. Yeah.
It's where Namestnikov was drafted. It was right in that range, too.
Exactly.
And they're the same size, so that, yep, you can just add that.
All right.
Man, that was nice, the way he just skated under that thing.
Yep. Kid can move, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's a really good skater. And To be honest, I would be really surprised if he got here, just because I think there is a safety in this pick. But if he does, I think it's an easy one.
And this, and there's like, there are some things that are going to change. We've talked about it. You know, you said Pittsburgh rarely uses their first. If they want to move out of that pick, teams are going to move around a little bit looking for certain things.
For sure. And this is a really good spot. Just because there, we do have a couple, you know, Poirier is still on the board. Helga Granz is still on the board. There are some guys that are hanging around on the board where if a team sitting fourth or fifth with the fourth or fifth pick, sixth pick somewhere in the second round and doesn't think they're going to get a shot at one of these guys that's dropping, that might be where the Avs entertain a move down. Because they don't have a second round pick.
There's a lot of defensemen in the middle of the second round too.
Yeah. And so that's where them maybe moving down if they don't like the guys who are here in this spot.
Definitely maybe, not off the board for sure.
Yeah, because you know the next two picks that we have here are Poirier and Bork and Maverick Bork.
Yep.
So to St. Louis and Anaheim.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think this is other than Dallas's pick, which I don't love personally, I think this is a really good draft class for the Central, to be honest with you.
St. Louis definitely needs a defenseman.
Yep, they do. So. And they're just in a weird spot for it if they end up 30th, but
yeah. And this, the you know, again, this is subject to change. If the Avs lose in the first round, they're not picking no 29th.
All of a sudden they're picking like 20th or something. And there's a big, big difference. It will be interesting how things shape up, but just to get a general idea, this is our second mock draft now. And we've gone forward both times, Brisson in the first one, Reichel in this one.
Yeah. Despite both of us wanting a defenseman in the first round, it just hasn't played out that way.
Yep. And honestly, this is something we keep running into every time we look at the draft with the Avs in that making the conference final area. They end up with the forward a lot. So I mean, something I might have to prepare myself for. And I mean, we went as hard as it's going to be watching Wallander go one pick before the Avs. It hurt me bad, but
yeah. And it was funny because we're the ones doing it. We could have easily just been
right.
Give San Jose anybody else.
If you think we're being biased towards the Avs, that in itself is proof that no,
both of us want Wallander wherever they pick. And we did it in the most painful way possible to avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's fine. Our final mock draft, we're taking Wallander to the Avs, no matter where they pick.
Has to be. Avs somehow trade for the first overall, and we're taking Wallander over Lafreniere. Confirmed.
They're gonna move up with Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Take him to 15.
All right. On that note, we're getting off the rails, so it's time to get out of here for the day. Be sure to check out MSU Denver Online. Whether you are a new college student or a returning one, they have a program for you with over 40 different programs you can take online or hybrid in the classroom as well, with over 750 different classes to look at. Over the summer, we had both Allie Monroy and Harrison Wind take classes, so if you have any specific questions, you can ask them. In general, they said they really enjoyed their classes. All of their teachers had worked in the field they were teaching at one point, so not only could they give you business experience, but they were great contacts for networking as well. So whether you're a returning student just trying to finish up your degree, or you're trying to make your first jump into college and eventually towards business life, jump on it today. MSU Denver Online, the easiest way to take classes, especially in the world today. So give it a shot. That's it for us today. Hope y'all enjoyed the mock draft. Something a little bit different as we're about to go ham on the proper playoff coverage. Tomorrow, Avs, obviously, game one. I believe there's still some spots open if you want to reserve a spot at the DNVR bar to come to the watch party. If you want to stay safe and watch at home, I totally understand as well. We'll have all the post-game, pre-game, all of that coverage for you at thednvr.com. So if you haven't subscribed yet, maybe consider helping support us today. Thank you all for listening to another one, and we will catch you guys tomorrow.
if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.